Scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. If you do not have a Bible, if you would raise your hand, we will make sure that you get one. Again, scripture reading will be Romans, chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. And the Bible reads, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. May God add a blessing to the hearers and doers of his word.
Very, very eloquent. He is an accomplished man when it comes to speaking. And I appreciate the fine prayers and songs. And appreciate you being here this Lord's Day morning. In this world of bad news, difficulties, challenges, evil surmising, and isn't it good just to have a little good news? In this world of negativity and ugliness, how wonderful it is to get a little good news. Well, the word gospel means just that, good news or glad tidings. The word gospel is found 101 times in the King James Version of God's Bible. 59 times it just stands alone as gospel. 7 times out of the 101 times is found with the phrase of God. And if it so be, next Sunday morning we're going to look at a lesson concerning the gospel of God. But this morning, 13 times is found with the phrase gospel of Christ. This little word gospel comes from a very lengthy word in the Greek, euangelizo. You means good. Angel, we have the Greek word angelos, which we get the word English from. But you means good. Angel, message, messenger. Idzo means to bring. Put it all together, to bring a good message or good messenger. When it was initially translated from euangelizo, it was translated good spell. But in time, they dropped an O, and then they dropped a D, and then an L, and that left the English word gospel. We all like some good news. A man believing he's having a heart attack. He goes to the doctor and says, oh, I'm having a heart attack, doctor. And the doctor runs a series of tests. And the doctor comes into office and says, hey, I got some good news. You're not having a heart attack. You're not having a heart attack at all. And when John does the announcements at the end of the worship period, I think John's got some good news, too, to tell us. And it is good news. Or maybe you get a letter from the office of the dean informing you that your child or maybe your grandchild is to receive a full scholarship to the college or university of his or her choice. That would be some good news. Maybe there's a knock at the door and you open the door and there's a couple of people and they got one of those big 5-foot-long checks with your name on it and it says $1 million. What is that? That you just won the grand sweepstake prize of $1 million. That would be some good news. But chances are, none of us will ever win $1 million. But we have already received the grandest good news of all, and that is the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul wrote to the church and the people of Rome in verse 15, Romans 1. He says, I'm now ready to preach the gospel unto you, which is at Rome also. Paul, why do you say with such boldness and confidence that you're ready to preach the gospel? Then he tells us why, because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God. He could just as easily say it, I'm not ashamed, because the gospel is the good news of God. Power of God unto salvation to all that believe, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. First of all, the gospel of Christ is good news because Jesus died. Usually when we hear of someone dying, that's not good news. But for mankind, the death of Jesus, you better believe it's good news. For if he had not came, if he had not died, then we cannot die to our sins. If he had not died, we're still in our sins and all hell bound and nothing we can do about it. Without the death of Jesus, there is nothing after the doctor says there's nothing I can do, nothing good. Without the death of Jesus, there's nothing after the funeral home. There's nothing after the long drive to the graveyard. Without the death of Jesus, there's nothing beyond the big blue. As I said a moment, I say again, we're all hell bound and nothing we can do about it. But because he died, there is something for the faithful. There is something after all of life's tomorrows. The Hebrew writer, he quotes the words of David the psalmist. In verse, well, previous, before 9, I don't remember what verse it is, 6, I think that's right, Hebrews 2, 6. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visit him? What is man compared to God, that God would be concerned about mankind? We are as a cockroach compared to God. Then he goes on to talk about Jesus, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Why was Jesus made a little lower than the angels? Why? Verse says, so he could die. He was made to die. In the Lord's pre-incarnated state, he could not die. In his pre-incarnated state in heaven, he was in the form of deity. And deity, John 8, 24, is in the form of a spirit. Spirit does not die. It is flesh, bone, and blood that dies. So he says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Out of necessity, he had to be made. Hebrews 10, 5, a body thou hast prepared for me. Why? So he could die. That's good news. Jesus was made a little lower than the angels, so he could die for you and for me. Paul says this in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus died for me. He was made to die. Good news. Secondly, not only the good news of Christ is that he died, but he shed his blood. In his pre-incarnated state, he couldn't die. For a spirit does not have flesh, bone, and blood as you see me have. That's the words he spoke to his disciples on resurrection night or evening. Hebrews 9:22 says, out of necessity he had to shed his blood, because it is the shedding of his blood that washes away our sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Paul, as he meets with the elders of the church at Ephesus, they journeyed down to a coastal city called Miletus. And he met with them there, and he says, verse 26, Acts 20, wherefore I call you to record this day, I am pure from the blood of all men, verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole or all the counsel of God, verse 28, Therefore, elders, take heed to yourself and to the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, and feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. It could just as easily read with his own life. For Genesis 9:4, Moses recorded or wrote that life is in the blood. To say that the church is not really that important. Do you even know what someone would be saying? Do they even understand? I say absolutely not. The church was so important to my Jesus that he purchased her with his own life. And he did not die for something unimportant. We read of the death of Jesus in John 19. They broke the bones. Here it is. The Sabbath day is coming. And the Jews, the high Sabbath day, Passover. It's coming. Starts at 6 p.m. that evening. And so what did they do? They would break the leg bones of the ones of the victims, and that way they could not hold themselves up, and they'd suffocate to death. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his bones, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came blood and water. What's so important about the shedding of that blood? Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed away our sins with his own blood. The shed blood is what washes away our sins. And that shed blood was shed in his death, John 19:34. This is where baptism comes in. Know ye not, Romans 6:3 and 4, know ye not, don't you know, that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Why are we baptized into his death? Because John 19:34 says it's in his death where the blood was shed. What's so special about that blood? Revelation 1:5, it is his blood that washes away our sins. It is insane, brethren, for people to stand there flat-footed and say you don't have to be baptized. This is why Paul was told, as he traveled on the road to Damascus, Jesus appeared unto him in a bright light, brighter than the noonday sun. Saul hit the ground, and the voice of the Lord said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul said, who for art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. What wilt thou have me to do? Arise and go, and be told you what you must do. He believed that day, he repented that day, and for 3 days he said a prayer. He was a sinner, so that would be a sinner's prayer, but he was still lost. That's why Ananias, a gospel preacher, came to him and told him the words of the Lord, said, arise and go and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Why did he have to be baptized? That he could be baptized, buried with Jesus, baptized into his death, the contact of blood that was shed in his death, which washes away his sins. What if Paul, as many today, oh yeah, I'll be baptized. You know, it's good to be baptized. It's just further act of obedience, but I'm already saved. What if he had believed he was already saved, and when Ananias says, get up and be baptized, wash away thy sins, but okay, I will, but he thinks in his mind he's already saved. Then he would have been baptized for the wrong reason. And secondly, he would be believing that one can be saved prior to contacting the blood of Jesus. Baptism puts you into his death, and it was in his death where the blood was shed. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. Firstly, because Jesus died. Secondly, because he shed his blood. You better believe Jesus has done his part. He didn't have to leave heaven. As we said at the beginning, usually it's grievous when someone dies. But we all must die, Hebrews 9:22. But he didn't have to die. We who was in opposition to everything good, holy, and right, stained in sin, separated from Jehovah God, we were the enemies of the cross. But he calls us his friends. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. He did his part. Now man must do theirs. Must be baptized into the death of Jesus, contacting that blood that washes away your sins. For the life of me, I can't understand why people reject that. The only thing that makes sense, and I guarantee it's right, they sit there in congregations like little birds with their mouth open and letting some man or woman feed them just anything, their opinions and theories, denying and rejecting book, chapter, and verse. You can say amen if you want to. Thirdly, the gospel of Christ is good news because Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. If I asked you to write down your top 10 Bible words, I doubt if propitiation would be one of them. But maybe after this point, it might be. The word propitiation comes from the Greek word hilamos. Hilamos. And it means to appease or appeasement. The pagans would offer a hilamos to their heathen gods to appease their pagan god's anger. Well, God's anger towards sin demands appeasing. But man could not offer anything that would appease God's anger towards sin. So what happened? God took the necessary steps to appease his own anger. Thus, Jesus is the hilamos. Thus, Jesus is the propitiation. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. Now, maybe someday, if you write down your top 10 Bible words, propitiation may make the list. Hilamos, that's our Jesus. The appeasement for the anger of God towards sin. By one man, sin entered into the world, Adam. And because of that, death passed upon all men because all have sin. It does not say by one man's sin, sin passed into the world. It is a lie straight from a devil's mouth to say that we are guilty of Adam's sin. What passed into the world was death. Adam opened the floodgate that brought death upon humanity. Adam was separated from the tree of life. We are separated from the tree of life, and because of that, Hebrews 9:22, we die. As a consequence of Adam's sin, we're not guilty of Adam's sin, but because of the consequence, man was separated from the tree of life. Because of the consequences, we die, and we die in two ways. One way is physical. James defines what physical death is. As the body without the spirit is dead. The body is dead when that union is severed between the body and the spirit. When you go to the funeral home and you stand over the casket of a loved one, you look upon that body is dead. That body is not dead because it's cold. That body is not dead because it's inactive. That body is dead because that spirit that emanates that body is no longer there. But also, man can die, second way, and the worst, spiritually. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. The Lord's hand's not short that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your sins have separated you from your God, and your iniquities have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Sin separates me from God. Physical death is when my spirit separated from my body. But spiritual death is when my spirit is separated from God. I can be spiritually dead while I'm physically alive, and most are. Most are. Paul writes to Timothy about a woman. He says, she's dead while she liveth in the pleasures of sin. Power of sin, it can separate you from God. Not only are you standing alone, but it separates your prayers from God because of your sins. In time of deep despair, when life reaches in and lays a hold of someone in your family that you love and begins to squeeze or maybe take you and turn your world upside down, you'll pray. I don't care who you are. You'll pray. When things get bad enough, you'll pray. But the sad news is this. God will not hear your prayers if you're dead in your sins. John 9:31, God heareth not sinners. My prayers won't make it to the ears of God It won't even get through the roof of the building I am dwelling in. I am alone. Ephesians 2:12 says, if you're alone, you're without Christ, you're without God, and you're without hope. My sins have done that. If man could truly understand, I'm going to hell. Oh yeah, I know I'm probably lost, but they don't truly, it's not registering with them. I'm going to hell. I'm going to suffer eternally. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth in this place of eternal blackness. This church building will be filled up if we really, really understood, I'm going to hell. The meanest man in the world, he loves to see a smile on a baby's face, I think. He loves to hear laughter from those he cares about. He loves a beautiful sunrise and a sunset. Yet in hell, there'll be no baby smiles. There'll be no laughter. There'll be no beautiful sunrise and sunsets. Only eternal death. But the point is this. Hey, you don't have to be the meanest man in the world to go to hell. You just have to die without a relationship with Jesus. Man says, I just don't believe that a kind and loving God will sentence anybody to hell. First, they don't understand the justice of God. And second, it's not so much God sentencing you to hell, just announcing it. You sentence your own self to hell. Paul and Barnabas, they waxed bold and said to the Jews, it was necessary that the word come unto you first, but ye have rejected it. Put it aside, I believe that's the words, from you. Therefore, ye have judged yourself unworthy of everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. The world, mankind, was lost in the sea of sin, drowning. And here comes Jesus, that lifeboat. He's already drowning. There's the lifeboat. You're going to continue to drown unless you climb into the lifeboat. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Man looks at sin, I'm speaking in general, they see that which is attractive, pleasurable. And they don't mind spending their paycheck till it's all gone to participate and to wallow in it. But when God looked upon sin, he sees it as the murderer that it is. He sees it as the monster and how it's going to take the life of his dear sweet son to deal with this monster. If sin was an animal, it'd be a snake. If sin was sickness, it'd be cancer. If sin was a chemical, it'd be poison. If sin in medical terms would be a disease. Sin in geographical terms would be quicksand. Sin if it was weather, it'd be a hurricane. Sin to the hunted is a trap. Sin to treasure seekers is fool's gold. Sin to a wagon train is an ambush. And sin to man is death. Death. But fourthly, the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news because we serve a God that is alive. He's not dead. We don't serve a dead God. Unlike these other gods, the Muslim says that Muhammad is God's true prophet. Was Muhammad raised from the dead and walked among the living? Absolutely not. Muhammad is dead and he's buried and he's going to stay dead and buried till Jesus comes again. John 5:28, marvel not at this, the hour cometh when all is in the grave, including Muhammad. Marvel not at this, the hour cometh when all is in the grave, shall hear his voice and come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life and they that have done evil to the resurrection of dead. Muhammad is dead and buried. Martin Luther is dead and buried. John Calvin is dead and buried. Joseph Smith is dead and buried. And they'll stay dead and buried until the Son of Man comes. And the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all of his holy angels with him and set upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. On that day, the dead shall rise. There'll be the time limitation, I don't know. Very brief, as a twinkling in the eye, I say. that the old body will be reunited with that spirit. If there's going to be a resurrection, it has to be something that's dead to be resurrected, and the spirit's not dead. But just for a moment, I say, then that body shall be changed. On that day, the dead shall rise. Joseph Smith shall rise. Muhammad shall rise. The meanest man in the world shall rise. You shall rise, and I shall rise, and all nations shall rise and stand before the throne of the Lamb. And we've already looked at those verses. I said them a little early, so. He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. Fifthly, the gospel of Christ is good news because our Jesus is a faithful witness. A witness is one that sees something that maybe you cannot see and did not see. A faithful witness means you can depend upon their testimony. When I read about the life and the death of Jesus, I know it's true. When I read about Acts 10:38, how Jesus went about doing good, I know that is true. He is a faithful witness. When I read about Paul standing on the deck of that ship, and the shipwreck was imminent, and all those seasoned sailors on that ship with Paul, they was fearful. Paul stood on the deck of that ship and says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall not be the loss of any man's life among you, but or save the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Paul, fear not, for thou must be brought unto Caesar, and God has put in thy hands all that sail with thee. Sirs, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe in God," here it is, "and it shall be even as it was told me." I believe that. All the promises of God, it's going to be even as it was told me. I believe when I read of Jesus being seen by honest, mentally competent, and sufficient in number eyewitnesses, how they handled him, ate and drank with him. Acts 1:3, through many infallible proofs for 40 days, he showed himself unto them. I believe that. Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scripture, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, after that above 500 at once. The greater part is still remains to this day, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James and all the apostles." And then Paul sums it up. "Last of all, he was seen by me as one born out of due season." I believe that because my Jesus is a faithful witness. I believe when I read that he's the first begotten of the dead, implying there's going to be a second to be born from the dead. And time's gone. I'd like to elaborate on that, but I choose not to. He was the first begotten to rise, never to die again. And we, church, we will be the second to rise and never die again. And then the rest of the verse. "And prince of kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Jesus loves us. Jesus died for us. Jesus shed his blood for us. Why? To wash away our sins. And again, this is where baptism comes in. That's good news. Barbara Walters, she was interviewing John Wayne, he was 71 years of age at this time. And she says, "You're a living legend, Mr. Wayne. Is there anything that frightens you?" He said, "Yeah, I don't want to die." That's normal, isn't it? Woody Allen said he didn't mind dying, as long as he didn't have to be there. But sixthly and lastly, the gospel of Christ is good news because we don't have to mind dying either. We don't have to fear death because put your name there, I am not alone. David the psalmist wrote, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. He doesn't say, I prayed to God and he delivered me from all my troubles, but the fear of troubles. The psalmist himself had to journey into the deep, dark valley of death. In Psalms 116:15, listen to these words, precious. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why is the death of the faithful precious? I'll tell you why. Because we are they that have fought the good fight. We have finished the course. We have kept the faith. And now we're receiving a home in heaven. Indeed, that would be precious. Blessed, God says, are the dead that die in the Lord. All spiritual blessings in the Lord. Ephesians 1:3. Those that die in the Lord, and the only way to get there, again, here's where baptism comes in. Those that die in the Lord, indeed, they shall be makarioi, happy are blessed. The gospel of Christ is good news because Jesus died. It's good news because he shed his blood. It's good news because he's the propitiation for our sins. It's good news because our Jesus is alive. It's good news because he is a faithful witness and we don't have to fear death. We all should use a little good news, don't we? Will you respond? Will you do your part? Jesus has more than done his. Now you need to climb into the lifeboat, drowning in sin, and you're doomed and destined to hell if you don't climb into the lifeboat. And the way you enter into that lifeboat is by obedience unto him. And this includes being buried in water, specifically, wash away your sins, following your confession of faith in him. At that moment, God adds you to his family, his church. If you need the prayers of the church, your soul is stained, it's a public sin, others know about it, hey, you better take care of it. Please come while together we stand and sing.